We watched some excellent videos the last two Tuesday nights. I wish the whole church could have seen them. Just outstanding. They're about 3 hours long, hour and a half on each Tuesday. They were good. If I get more of the people in church to come, you'd love it. It's a wake-up call to America, where we're at in our nation, how we got here, and where we're at. People don't realize. We don't know how the Antichrist system has just totally just worked. And Antichrist can't come until the platform's built. And when the platform's built, he'll show up. But they're really good. We bought some more. Some of you wanted one, and we bought some. And there's the two. Mike got them. There's $40 for the two, but we bought enough to where we got them for about $15 a piece. Mike said some of you mentioned to him about where could you order one, but we got them a half price, or less than half. And so if you want to buy one, when we get it, we'll sell it to you. I ordered 25. Mike wants 5. Now, I'm going to send a bunch out to the pastors I know in different parts of America. And I'm going to tell them I want them to show it to the church. And if you don't show it to church, I'm going to give you one. Would that be fair? No, I'd give one anyway, but if they watched it, they'd show it to the church. It'd help you. We need to know our enemy. We need to know where we stand. We spent a lot of time before we went to Vietnam studying our enemy. What they look like, their maneuvers. We even had a video from a VC that had defected, had come over to our side, and he was a sapper. You know what a sapper is? Not a snapper. He's a sapper. And these little guys, we had concertina wire, razor wire. It had 2 to 3 inch razor blades on that wire. And some of it was just barbed wire. And it'd come in big rolls. And we'd unroll that stuff. And we'd have it around a compound, all depending on where a compound was and what compound it was. We'd have it 30, 50 foot out through there. I mean, a rabbit couldn't go through that without getting cut. And these sappers, they could crawl through that concertina wire, crawl all the way through that, and we'd have out through that concertina wire set claymore mines, claymores, which a claymore is they're about 3 inches by 10 inches, and they're kind of curved. And even got written on one side, this side toward enemy. That's for the Marines. Oh. I tell Doc at him. But, you could put a trip chart line on them where they touch a line, it'd go off, or we could, had a trigger. Anyway, we'd put them all through that concertina wire. And them little rascals, they'd take all their clothes off and rub the little oil or grease, black, is black, all over their body. And they'd crawl through that stuff, all the way through it, never get cut. They had cutters. And they'd crawl all the way through that, crawl into your compound, crawl straight by you, go in. One night, there's one crawled through that concertina wire, crawled through a guard tire where the guy was about half asleep, not paying attention. I tell church people this. Went into the compound, set up satchel charges through that compound, and went back to the guard tire, cut the guy's throat, and went back out the way he come in. Nobody even knew he came through, and he blew up a whole bunch of stuff inside the compound. That's how good those guys was. And if you don't know your enemy, and we had a video of that guy showing us how he did it. And that rascal crawled through there. They're little bitty fellas, you know. Some of them just kids. But we watched all kind of videos on the enemy, what they could do and how they could do and the minds they made. You have to know your enemy. And we need to study and know these things. Amen? Because he takes advantage of us if we don't. And you understand these things by church. So Andrew kept the kids over here tonight. We're going to talk to you about leading somebody to the Lord or witnessing or getting people saved. Jesus came for one reason, to get us saved. Any way you want to call it, you know, saved, born again. He came. He so loved the world that he died that you wouldn't have to go to hell. There's a place called hell. And we're going to watch a video in a minute of Mary Baxter. She'll be here in April. She was here a couple of years ago. We love her, you know. She went to hell and she went to heaven. And she got a little video I want us to watch. It's on her talking about hell. I'm doing this for a reason. I want us to wake up to the fact there's a hell. There's no preaching in the church today on hell. Nobody talks about it. When I grew up, what little church I know, you even got around the church. I tell people I didn't grow up in church. I grew up in the shadow. Look what the shadow did. Just the shadow of the church. But you couldn't get even close to the church where I grew up. You knew about hell. Everybody, my whole family, everybody talked about hell. And the main reason I got saved is I didn't want to go to hell. And a lot of things, when I was a sinner, I didn't do because I didn't want to die. I hear today about so many suicides and so many young people and doing things and just risking their life. And life has no value much today in America. We don't value our life. And a lot of them doing things because they don't realize, hey, if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. And if they knew this, you can resist the temptation to risk your life more. Amen? There's a lot of things that I wanted to do, started to do, and I backed off from doing because the risk was too high. And I didn't want to take the risk on going to hell because I knew I was going to hell because it was obvious. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell because the church preached it. They put it inside. Kids knew it. Amen? We knew there was a rapture of the church. And we knew that we didn't want to risk not going in the rapture. We've made it so loose today that everybody's going and nobody's sinning. No sin in the church. Sin doesn't have a penalty. We're all covered by grace. Sin's been forgiven. You know, your past sins, and present sins, and future sins all been forgiven. So you don't have to worry about nothing. Well, now, wait a minute. That doesn't answer these other scriptures in the Bible. It says, if you sin. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus dealt with the churches pretty harsh. He said, if you don't repent, then I'm going to take your influence out. I'm going to remove you. You're going to be taken out of the way if you don't repent. So there is repentance. We have to. My first couple of years in the church, when I first got born again, I wore out 1 John 1:9. I mean, I wore that scripture out. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin, clean you from all ungodliness. He wrote that to Christians. So, you know, with the legalistic mindset, a lot of the preaching, what it did, it produced a lot of legalism to everything was wrong except breathing, and you had to do that in church. So everything was wrong, so we felt guilty about everything. And so there's two sides to the thing. No, there's grace. We're not guilty. Jesus said we're not guilty. We've been forgiven. We're not guilty. And we're free. But if we mess up, we just get stay close to it. There's no condemnation to him that's in Christ Jesus. The devil's good at beating us up. Everything's wrong. Everything you do as a Christian wrong. They told us, you know, you can't do this, can't do that. The whole more cannots than it was cans. So everything is wrong. That's why they had a revival every year, and everybody went back to the altar and repented. And they measured the success of the revival based on how many come and repented. And everybody came back getting born again. And repenting all the time. And so all they needed was the word taught to them, get them free from condemnation and learn how to walk. And if you mess up, just say, forgive me. And go on. But we're the children of God. Amen? Look with me in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Now, I've led quite a few people to the Lord. I wish I'd led more people to the Lord. And sometimes I missed it when I should have led people to the Lord. And the devil loves to intimidate us to where we won't speak. Peer pressure. Or people around us, our peers, or our school, you know, kids and stuff. He loves to intimidate us to where we don't want to, you know, to talk about Jesus because we, you know, we don't want to seem like an oddball, or, you know, we want to fit in or be liked. Well, that's fine. Everybody wants that. But we have to think about something here. These kids or these people or your family members, if they don't get born again, they're going to hell. We have to think about that. And that has to be stronger inside of us than our intimidation. I talked to one person, and their husband was in the hospital, and he was dying, and she wouldn't talk to him about the Lord, and he was lost. I said, "What? Wanted me to come?" I said, "My goodness, I'll get there as quick as I can." And he was dying, and I said, "Why didn't you talk to him?" I just couldn't. It's just hard to say. I didn't know what to say. How long have you been in the church? And I understand it's harder to witness or talk to your family than it is to anybody. It's harder to witness to your family because we just seem intimidated. But my goodness, you have to think, if there's nobody here and they're drowning, you got to save them. You have to say something. You have to say something. And it's very easy. The gospel, we all know the gospel. The simple gospel is about salvation. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he came to earth? And everybody does, especially in the South. Older people, anyway. Younger people probably don't know. And if they believe that, well, all they have to do is believe it in their heart and confess it with their mouth. They have to confess it with their mouth. You have to confess it with your mouth or you're not saved. You say, "Well, I believe it in my heart." That's not good enough. You have to confess it with your mouth. And Paul just simply, all he said was Lord. That he confessed him. And I tell people, "Do you believe that?" You know, and you talk to them. "Well, yeah." "Well, listen, I'm going to lead you in a little prayer. And you just say what I say. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. And you died on the cross. That I don't have to go to hell. And I ask you to come into my heart now and be my Lord. Now I call you Lord and I'm saved." Something like that. It didn't have to be those exact words, but something very simple. It's easy. But the problem of it is we are intimidated and we stand back. We don't know when to talk. The Holy Spirit will arrange it for you. Now, what you have to do with people, more than anything else, you know, You're not going to get anybody saved by screaming at them. You're not going to get anybody born again by going up and say, or standing on the street corner telling everybody they're going to hell. We went to school, I did after you got out of the Army, a whole bunch of us guys. You know, you could go to college and they'd pay for it. Well, they sent us, all of us out as vets, they sent us a letter, you know, paying so much, encouraging us to go to school. Well, it's paying us about $400, $500, $600 a month if we go to school. Yeah, we're going to school. Well, the closest school around was Malin Tech over in Spruce Pine. So here all us rednecks, we was taking anything we could take to get in, you know, get that money. We went two nights a week. All you had to do is from 4 to 8, and you got $500 a month. And so some of them went to criminology, and the rest of us, we couldn't get criminology. We took a business course. Business. Dear Lord Jesus, it's pitiful. But all we was going for was the money anyway. And we stayed in there and we endured it, I think, as long as they could endure it. And they started, one teacher was wise, and he went to Mountain Heritage and he started an agricultural class just on agriculture. Well, man, we all signed up for that. And we went from 4 to 8, and he was a good teacher. They taught us what we was already doing. How to farm. How to tend cattle. Taught us all about cattle. Very educational. Had a welding class we could take welding. Had some machines in there we could make things we wanted to. And they showed us video. Really interesting. And so we went to that school 4 to 8 twice a week. Got $500 a month. That's a lot of money back in 1978. I just got born again. I hadn't been born again too long. I was going around the guys, and some of them was already born again, going to church, Baptist over there. Thank God for the Baptist. But some of them wasn't. And so I was trying to get them born again. But you have to get people to like you first. A Bible says a person offended is harder to win than a walled city. You can't get anybody born again if they don't like you, if they know you, if they don't trust you. You first have to be a witness. You have to show them what you've got. And love never fails. You have to love people. You cannot condemn people into salvation. You can't condemn them and tell them everything they're doing is going to send them to hell. And every time you see them doing something wrong, you jump on them. Well, I was working on some of them. I led a couple of them to the Lord. We had this guy, little guy, he's about this high, young Baptist preacher. Always running around with a big jar of tobacco in his mouth. Man, he's had more zeal than he had knowledge. And he had plenty of zeal. God bless him. He had plenty of zeal. But I'm telling you, he gave those guys a hard time. Man, he was on them about everything. They hated to see him coming. They was going to hell about everything. Oh, they'd smoke cigarette or, you know, they'd talk or, you know, they're going to hell. You're going to hell. And you're going to hell, and you're going to hell. And he'd try to preach to everybody, and he'd go to huffing. And he was right there in class. You know? And he'd just preaching, you know, out of Jeremiah or Ezekiel, you know. And he said, I'll tell you one thing. He's talking about some other denomination. A lot of you. Preach against Backer and chew the word. He said, we preach the word and chew tobacco. I said, well, you got that straight. You sure chew tobacco. And just had a big wad of tobacco and just... And he was so miserable being around all those sinners that he finally quit. Because he is so miserable being around them. They wasn't doing anything. They're just sinners. Sinners sin. It's as natural as a bird flying. If you see a sinner, they're sinning. And why do we get upset at sinners sinning? They respected me. They wouldn't tell a dirty joke around me. But it's, I had to earn that respect. They'd start, you know, but they'd do it to test me. They'll test you. Your peers at school, they'll test you. The people you work with, they'll test you. They're going to see if you got it. And they'll start telling a dirty joke. And I'd say, now, fellas, I don't mind you telling that joke. You can tell that joke, but wait till I get over there. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm born again. I'm a Christian, and I can't listen to it. Now, if you want to tell it, you go ahead and tell it, and I'm sure it's funny, and you all laugh, but I don't want to hear it. I didn't condemn them. I didn't put them down, and I didn't tell them they was going to hell for telling it. They're already going to hell. Telling that joke wasn't making them go to hell. They're going to hell anyway. And they'd start, you know how old guys are. And they'd start talking about this and that. And I said, now, God, hold it. And then after a while, they respected me. They'd cuss and say GD and stuff. And they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't. It just come out. They don't know they're cussing. Listen, when I got born again, I lost half of my vocabulary, at least. I cussed, didn't know I was cussing. I just cuss, it's just your language. They don't know they're cussing. They don't mean to be offensive. They just don't know any better. They're not born again yet. You got to get them born again. You can't get them born again until you're a light. If you go to school with them. Well, I know one time I was working on a job and there's a big old hole. And we had to get down, we wanted somebody to get down this hole and stop a pipe. And they wouldn't get down in there. And he said, you go down in there, you're a Christian. But they said, you go down in there, you're a Christian. Well, at least they knew that much. They knew if it fell in on me, I was going to heaven. I said, gee, thanks, God. I said, at least I'm going to heaven. You guys going to hell. I don't blame you. I wouldn't get in there either. And I'd used every little opportunity, you know, lightly to witness to them. But then after they got to respecting me and liking and see I had something, people have to know you got something. You have to prove to people around you you got something, that you are different. You're not that way anymore. And you have to prove to them. But here's what we do a lot of time. We get around our peers and we get around the guys or girls we used to hang around with and we want to make them comfortable and we start acting like them. No. You have to prove to them you got something. The only way you're going to win them to the Lord, they want to see. They'll test you. At school. Stand up for Jesus. And you got to know more than anything, you got to get in your heart, they're on their way to hell. And I used to ask God, God, give me opportunity. Show me how I can witness to them. Help me, Lord. Show me how. I didn't try to be light or just trying to fit in. I'd hang around them just long enough to try to get them to see I had something. They're the one that doesn't have anything. I've got it. They don't have it. Got around some old friends and they'd start to open a beer and they'd say, well, I'm sorry. First they offered me one. They'd go drinking buddies. They'd offered me one. my opportunity to be a witness. And I witnessed to them, told them. Well, that's the only time they ever offered me one. They didn't offer me one anymore. Then they'd start to open one. They'd say, oh, I'm sorry. Or they'd say, you mind if I drink a beer? And it was in their house. I said, no, I don't mind. Don't bother me any. They said, well, we don't want to tempt you. That's true. They'd say, I don't want to tempt you. I said, don't worry about it. You're not tempting me. You won't tempt me. Then they give me another opportunity to witness to them. Tell them how bigger Jesus was in me than that beer. And now, you understand? God will give you all kind of opportunities if you'll take it. If you'll take it. But you have to take it. And you have to talk to people. And you have to be friends with them. You can't go around, you know, acting like when you're not going to win somebody drinks to the Lord if you drink with them. Forget it. You're not a witness. Actually, the Bible says if you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you a millstone tied around your neck. You can become an offense. And that's not good. Amen? Did I ever read John? Let's read it then we'll watch that video. Where am I going to read at? John, did I say chapter 20? Okay. Then, let's see. I wrote scripture down. Oh, yeah, 23. If you, well, first he, in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they got born again right there. They got born again. And he said, if you remit, or New King James says forgive, the sins of any person, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Wow. What a strong scripture to tell us of the power we have in somebody's life. The Bible says if you remit anyone's sins, they will be remitted. If you retain anyone's sins, they will be retained. In other words, if you allow anyone's sins, they'll be allowed in heaven. If you don't allow it, they won't. That's the same thing. Matthew 18 says, whatsoever you bind will be bound, whatsoever you loose will be loosed. Did you know you had that much power to forgive somebody's sins? Now, you can't save people. And what that's saying is you have the power to lead people to Jesus Christ. If you will permit that sin in their life and allow that and let them meet them, and allow them to go on, then that sin will stay in their life and it will be allowed by God to stay there. But if you do something about it, then it'll be taken away in heaven. In other words, we have the power to change people's life. That doesn't mean that you can say, well, I forgive you of all your sins. We're not Catholics. You're not the Pope. You can't say, well, tell me all, confess your sins. I forgive all your sins. Go and no. That means I know how to get rid of them for you through Jesus Christ. And when you meet somebody, I am not going to allow their sins, if God puts them in my life, I am not going to allow that sin to stay in their life. I'm going to stay after them until I get them born again. And God says, if you allow it, I'll allow it. It's your responsibility. That's what he said in Ezekiel. If you don't get people saved, then their blood is on your hands. Not everybody's, just who God puts in your life. Your family is your responsibility. If you allow their sins, then they'll be allowed. Now, you got to understand that and what it is. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? In other words, you stay on it, you get them saved. Now, if they refuse, after you've done all you can do to get them born again, it's not up to you anymore. Their blood's not on your hand. But when I got born again, my daddy wasn't saved. A lot of people in my family wasn't saved. But my first obligation was my family. I prayed. I did everything I could. And I know that it's hard to witness to family, and it's hard for family sometimes to listen to you. It's just like an intimidation thing. But I picked people. One of my uncles was in the hospital, and I knew it. I'd prayed for him, and I knew that it would be difficult for him to talk to me like that. So I picked somebody God told me, tell this person to go. And so I took this person, and I took them, and I told them all. He went in there, won him to the Lord. Got him born again. Now, other uncles, I've led them to the Lord. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to permit their sin. You understand? Some of you probably got family members or whatever. And I was discussing with somebody the other day, and I said, let them know we're not going to permit that. We're not going to permit it. They're not going to get away with it. They're not going to live like that. We're not going to put up with it. They might as well give up. We're not going to permit it. Heaven says, if you permit it, I'll permit it. If you don't, then I won't. And heaven will back us up on it. Heaven will back us up on it. And he'll say, go get them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our responsibility. My family is my responsibility. Praise God. Move this pulpit here. You just want to watch this video?
Yes.
Just wake you up now. Lock that door. Don't let nobody run. You're not saved. You need to hear it. If you are saved, you need to hear it. You understand? Hell is real. It's real. It's going to be real whether you believe it or not. Already got them running. No, Felicia's not running. These other guys I don't know about. Hell is real whether you believe it or not. If you believe it, that's good. If you don't believe it, it's still real. You believing it or not believing it, it's not going to change the fact it's real. We need to deal with it now. My responsibility as a pastor to wake you up, to teach you, to do everything I can to educate us, to stir us up. We're living in the last day. We have to be zealous about what we've got to do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, this is Mary Baxter. She'll be here in April. So she's precious. Listen, Todd, you need
I'm listening. Inside the walls of this gateway was demon powers. And when I say demon powers, I got to explain it to you, okay? There was some of them 12 foot high that looked like cockroaches. Some of them looked like huge spiders, 12 foot high. Then there was these creatures with fangs, with wings, with bodies 4 foot across or 5 foot, 12 foot high, and evil fangs, just like some of the pictures you see of them drawing demon powers. But they could not touch us because of the power of Christ. And you could hear them growl at us as we went down. And later on, I wrote a book with George Bloomer on deliverance. He explains what the cockroaches were and the spiders, which I didn't have the knowledge of then, because this was in 1976. God showed me these things. So I began to know and understand as we descended down this thing to hell. Hell is real. And before, you know, I didn't really, as growing up in church, I heard hell preach, but the preachers just scared me to death. They would, you know, every Sunday we get saved because we didn't want to go to hell. But when I began to hear the sounds of the dead in hell, and we began to walk among certain areas when we were down, we went to the left leg of hell first. He said, hell has a body in the middle of the earth. And he said, we will walk through these chambers. And he said, I'll not show you all of hell, but part of hell. And here's what he told me. He said, there's some parts of hell, child, I will not show you. It is too gross, too bad. And as I began to walk with him, we came down this corridor. We went to the left leg of hell first. And in the left leg were pits of fire everywhere. As far as I could see were thousands and thousands of pits full of fire, but in every pit was a skeleton full of dead men's bones. They would be no flesh, no blood, no organs, and they could talk, they could turn, they were a skeleton, but some of them had arms missing, some of them had legs missing, and they could actually talk to you. They had a vapor of smoke inside their skeleton. And as you looked at their bones, there would be a corrupt substance, like hanging, burning flesh, and worms crawling through that. And they could feel the worms, and they would scream and pull the worms out. And they began to talk to Jesus as we walked. And they said, Lord, we've been here many years, and we cannot die. We burn and no one cares. We cry and no one cares. He said, no man cares for our souls. And Christ would look at them and cry. And he was in the human form and he said, I sent preachers to you. I told you myself, you must be born again to spare you from this place. He said, I've done everything in my power to have you turn unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I shed my blood. My blood on a cross for you. So if you would repent of your sins, you wouldn't come to this place. And I watched as the corpses began to cry and no tears came. And I began to watch them reach up their bony hands and pray. And it would really tear you apart because you would think, what if that had been me when I was in sin, you know? What if that would be my neighbor? So your heart begins to change. You begin to think more about reality. You begin to think about eternity without God. And you begin to know that there is a real place called the abode of the dead, and it's Hades. I was an ordinary housewife, a mother. Now I'm a grandmother. And I didn't know. I didn't have a college education. I had a high school, but I was no Bible scholar. But God handpicked me for this journey. And every night he would bring me back around 5 a.m, and I'd cry and I'd weep. And then the next day he would take me again from 2 to 5. And on one of the journeys into hell, he took me to the belly of hell. And the belly of hell was 17 miles high and 3 miles around. There was like stacked on top of each other jail cells. And you could see skeletons inside there burning and screaming and crying. And inside this place were souls of witches, warlocks, demonic powers, people that use demonic powers to destroy people, and also the ones that served idolatry. And they would actually, there was a dirt ledge in front, like 4 feet around, in Christ would speak and we would run, not run, we would move up by his power, you know, because God has all power. And we would go from level to level and Christ would talk to him. And he came to this one man that was burning. He was screaming. He was on his knees. The Lord said he was on the earth. He was blind. He's blind in hell. said he used his handicap to seduce many for witchcraft. I said, how did he do that, Lord? Because I didn't know. He said, child, what he did, he would work curses on them. And he would tell them, give them money for his handicap and things. And all the time, he's doing his witchcraft on these people, like young people, a lot of young people, he said, teenagers and things. And they didn't know because they had compassion on him. And he said, these things are true. Said he did his witchcraft, and the man heard him, and he said, yes, I did. And I heard the gospel many times, but rejected you. He said, I never understood the sorrows of hell. Said, I served the devil on the earth. And when I died, this has been my torment. I've been here for years and years, wishing I had listened to the gospel. Wishing I had told the truth. Wishing. I'm sorry, I've been told the truth so I could escape this place of damnation. So this is what I learned. Even people in the occult, they come to my services. They think they're going to do harm to us. And God turns it around and saves them by many, many. Because they think that they're going to have a kingdom when they go to hell. They don't have a kingdom. The devil says, do you think that I would give you a kingdom, share my kingdom with you? The devil tells them, I hate you as much as Christians. And there they're burning in hell. We're going to talk about witchcraft here a minute. And what I know is only what the Lord has shown me and told me. We were walking around the jail cells that were 17 miles high. And there was to my surprise, there was a rocking chair inside this jail cell. And there was a skeleton sitting in here with an old little ragged doll, rocking back and forth, screaming and crying. And Jesus said, she's in great torture and great pain. And he said, I'm going to allow you to see what she was before this happened and what she did. He said she was a soothsayer for Satan. And this woman is rocking, and all at once her appearance begins to change. Her whole countenance changes. So at first, she had on a beautiful dress. Let me see the dress of a beautiful woman. Then it changed to another thing. I think she changed into an animal-looking thing, too, one time. And in my book, I talk about it, but she had many forms. And every time that happened to her, she would scream. And Jesus said she got this power from the devil by killing people. She would get more power. They would drink the blood. And she would get all this power where she could do these things. And he said she was killed one day. And she came here. And Satan let her be tormented like this over and over and over. And it is a drastic change. And she feels it, and she screams in pain, and this happens to her all the time. And she looked at Jesus, and she said, can't you help me? Can't you help me? And she reached to the bars, and it was like flesh had burnt into skeletons. And my heart went out to her, and I tell this in many places, and I don't know if it's Spanish, I forget the nationality, said there truly is a woman of witchcraft in their circles that sits in a rocking chair and works spells and curses and hexes on people. And they said it's real. And there was a young man down there. He was 16 years old. And one of the other men saw him, a friend of mine. He saw him. He was assistant pastor of a church. And his family used to be in the mafia. He was a pastor now. And at altar one night, he was asked, there was a man there preaching on hell, does anybody want to see hell? And he kind of laughed and went up and said, yeah, and the man laid hands on him. And he descended into hell immediately, and there was Jesus, and flames and fires and pits and screams of the dead. And he said, we must hurry, I got three people to show you. So he runs and he shows him his uncle. They're running through the fires and hands reaching out to him. And his uncle had a suit on. And someone had come in and shot him at his desk. And he appeared to him with a suit on in the flesh. Some people God allows that to see. And then he burned up in the fires and he said, warn my side of the family not to come here, that hell is real. And he's screaming. He said, I cannot die. And then the Lord said, hurry, we must go the other side. So he went the other side, and there was his other uncle on his other side of the family. And he had died a horrible death. And he said, warn my side of family that this is real, that I don't want them to come here. And on the way back, Jesus said, there's one more person I want you to see. And as they're going back, he hears the scream of a voice of a young man he knew, 16 years old, used to be his neighbor. And he had been found with his head decapitated because he had been in the occult. And he screamed and he said to him, warn the teenagers not to get in the occult because it's real. And he said, I was serving the devil and they took my head off and I ended up here in hell. And he was burning and screaming, and he was stuck between planks burning. And the man, the Lord brought him back to the altar, he was weeping and crying and saying, oh my God, I never knew hell was like that. And then I walked a little further with the Lord, and I was crying in the spirit, and I was in the spirit, but there was no tears. And I saw a river flowing of fire and blood. And skeletons chained together with a big black chain. And the cries of the dead was echoing through the chambers of hell. And then you could hear the cries and the regrets and the moans and the screams of people wishing they'd listened to a preacher, wishing they'd listened to somebody, a woman, a man, a child, to tell them to repent of their sin. And the Lord walked me over to the river and said, look. And in the air, in the flames, was big black letters out of the book of Romans. And it said, lovers of their own flesh more than God's commandments. Men loving men, women loving women, with no fear of God. It was the word of God written in the fires. And I looked and I said, Jesus. And I heard a man's voice scream, why wasn't I warned? Why didn't somebody tell me? Well, there was a place in hell where we went to the belly of hell and all other kind of activities going on. There was other demons digging holes to bring more souls. There was fires, great fires, all through this and the screams of the dead. But there was one man's voice that was louder. And his voice was so loud and screaming so hard. And Christ said, child, I want to show you something. I want to show you what it really means to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And this man blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, my Lord. And so he took me over and he elevated me up in the air, guys. And there was this coffin. It was open at the top. It was old wooden coffin, old timey coffin. And there was a skeleton on his back with real blood on his hands. And you were talking about the demons. They were 12 of them marching around the coffin with little slaps with spears. Because people in hell feel like they have a real body. They feel like that they're in their own flesh. And he was stabbing this coffin in there with the man inside, and he would scream and torment. And they do that 24 hours a day all the time. And he screams to get out, and he can't. And Christ appeared, and he saw him, and he said, Jesus, he called him, Jesus, get me out of here. I repent now to you. I'll never do those things again. Let me out of here. I've been here for years suffering. I relive everything I ever did. And the Lord said, peace, be still. And the Lord began to cry over this soul. And as I looked at him, I said, Lord, what did he do to deserve this? He said, he used to be a preacher of my word. He used to have a fine car, a beautiful home, a fine church. But Satan tempted him to steal from the church offering, and he did. Then he tempted him a year later to do something else in the church wrong, and he did. And he had the Holy Spirit. And he said the Holy Spirit began to talk to him and tell him, don't do these things, but he wouldn't listen. And as time went on, his heart was hardened. And he used to preach the true gospel, and he began to compromise my word. And see, Jesus said, this man had tasted my gifts, he had healed the sick, he had done many great things in my name, he had preached the word in my name, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit departed from him because of the devil entering into his heart, and he allowed it. And the day come when the Holy Ghost left him, that the devil entered in his heart, and he began to change. And you know, as I am telling this, I'm thinking about many ministers going to be watching this. And they need to repent. If they're out there, they need to repent, because that blood will set you free. Don't stay hard in your heart. And I watched as Jesus said, I came to him myself. I manifest myself to him. And he wouldn't listen. I sent prophets. I sent apostles. I sent, for months and years, I tried to change him. But the day come, he wanted to open up a seminar in town against the Holy Ghost, teach against him, knowing better. He knew better. And he said what happened, he was killed in a car wreck when he left the church, and this is where he is. And he said, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. And we just left there crying. I did too. But as Christ and I went on our journey night after night, what I learned, he talked about his blood in hell, that if they had received him, no matter what they did, he would have washed them clean by his power and his blood. Because when he was crucified, that's why he did that, to save us from eternal damnation. If we would believe he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then I learned something. As I'm walking with him and talking with him, I learned how the book of Galatians, there's 17 works of our flesh. He took and he showed me a valley full of murderers. They had died on the earth. They were, their main thing they did in their life was to murder people. They had to be millions. And I began to look at a vast number. They were skeletons chained together. And they were burning and screaming. And then he said, I want to show you people that have hate in their heart. He showed me a valley without number. And these were also chained together, burning and screaming. And demons walking through tormenting them. And some of them were literally pulled apart and taken all over hell, and they were screaming. Each part of the body would scream. And I thought, oh my God, what a torment. And then he showed me like people in the cult, like I told you, in the center of hell. He showed me the murderers. He showed me the haters. He showed me the ones that are prejudiced. This is a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about, but God does not see color. Listen, love knows no color of our skin. And what you have to do is love you one another as Christ loved us. And we have to watch what we say, because that brings roots of bitterness and hatefulness. And in hell, there was a section for people like that. There was a section in hell for the hypocrites. They were in the heart of hell. It was a heart of hell as big as a football field. And around the base of it was sewers from the earth that run around it. The stink was beyond your belief. And in the midst of this is rats. Rats big as 70 pounds. They're real. They're not a spirit. And they bite on these souls. The torment of things you just don't understand, because it's hidden from you. But as you look at this and as you listen and you understand the knowledge that's been hid from us, revelation knowledge, God wants us to see and know these things so we do not go to hell. God wants us to have a knowledge and wisdom of what's down in the middle of the earth. And when God begins to show somebody these things, it's earth shaking. On this journey in hell, I was one night walking with the Lord, and he said, I'm going to show you the fun center in hell. It's like a Roman theater, and the devil is sitting up in his throne at the top of this big rock place. It was all rocks. And it was similar to a Roman theater where they used to torment the men, you know, and kill them, let the lions come out and eat them. Well, here was a Satan on his throne. He had a book out on a big... he was in a chair, and the book was on like a throne, okay? And there was names on that. And then the demons had went through hell and picked out certain people and had them lined up. Obviously skeletons, you know, and they were men and women, top of their voices, and they were crying. And the Lord said, this is horrible, but I want you to tell the people of the world about it. The devil would throw his head back and roar and laugh. And you could see him, he was solid looking. He had big horns, his face was red looking. He was very, very demonic looking. He looked kind of like the old movie, The Legend, is what he looked like. Had the hoof feet and everything. And he's sitting up there, and he's huge, he's so big. And they bring these people before the throne. The first, I think it was a man. And all around the edges, there's these demons with spears and growling and laughing. And they brought this person up front of the throne, and... He opens up this book and he said, well, I see when you were on the earth in the beginning, you used to preach the gospel. That's what he called it, the gospel. And according to my report, you got many people to turn and their way stopped. He watched how he worded it, okay? He said, you got many people to turn from darkness into light. That's what he said. And he said, I see here a list of the things you did. So what we did, the devil looked at him and said, we sent out a crew of demons to stop you. Said, we sent them out to come and to stop your works because you were doing too much in the light. That's how he would word it. And he said, we deceived you. And then I set a trap for you and killed you when you were in deep sin. And that's why you're in hell. That's what he told him. He said, I didn't give you a chance to repent. Said, God, he did say this. He said, God has grace and mercy. Why do not? He said, I have no mercy. And he said, all those that were in line with you, I did the same to them. They used to be believers on the earth. And I thought about it. And I looked at the Lord. I said, Lord, he is truly a deceiver and a master. Art a master. He said, yes, child. It says all through the book, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he deceived these people that you see in line. And right at their vulnerable state, he killed them. Because they were in traps. They were in cage. Ensnared by him, I should say. Ensnared by him. And the devil began to laugh. And he said, tormentors, come and get him. Get her, him. What happened? This corpse was standing there. And each one would come and pull an arm off. Pull the head off. The legs off. And the torso they had. So they would take that body where they pulled it apart and they would scream. Every piece of that body would scream for the other part. And they would take it all over hell and bury it, laughing. After all this is done, then they scream so loud, their screams are heard. And I don't know by who, but he said, God has mercy and sends power and puts them all back together again. Now that's horrible. That's horrible. And you think about what a wicked, wicked devil is, and you better get mad at him. You better get really angry in the name of Jesus. You better stand up, fight for your family because he's real. It's an unseen force, and that's why I preach. That's why I pray, and that's why I travel, to tell people, you know, to wake up, you know, time is short. The demons in hell, they can take on many shapes, okay? You can see one like 3 inches high would swirl around the skulls of people. Say, we deceived you, we deceived you. You could have had Jesus, but we deceived you. With the lust of your flesh more than God's commandments. And they would curse and blaspheme God. Now, these in hell I've seen like animal creatures, okay? It may have been an illusion, okay? Because... they are illusions in hell. The devil brings illusions, a false paradise and everything. But I've seen these with corpses on the backs of them also. and burning and screaming. Even the horses was on fire. I was walking with the Lord on the valley of the shadow of death, and it was crawling in the muck beside me. It was huge, like a big bear. But I never saw its face. I just saw its backside. But I did see them in hell that looked like humongous bears. And I think they've taken on the forms of the animals, you know, to bring more torture to people and more... I really believe that, as I mean, talking to you, I really believe that they have done this to bring heartache, more heartache to the people, like seeing a horse or a bear or something like that. Because they're all demons, they're devils. We go to the left arm of hell. And in the left arm of hell is a snake as big as a train, a locomotive. And it's real, it's not a spirit. And he said, look at this child. And when I did, this snake would send fire out of its mouth and would come like 3 feet from us and go back. And the head of this snake was big as a locomotive train. That's how big. And he said, this snake will hit the earth when the world, the church is called away. That's exactly what he said. So I learned that all of these vicious creatures, heartless, have no mercy. They have no pity. The people that go to hell, they know they're doomed for the lake of fire. And they take out all their vengeance on one soul. A couple of times when God was
I was the one who turned it off. Yeah. Praise the Lord, I do that every time. I get back up. Well, praise the Lord. You believe that?
Yeah.
You know, you'd say, well, I don't believe that's not real. She made that up. Don't make any difference. Hell's real. And that's something. That's sad. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus say, one guy, let's watch that, 23 minutes in hell. But this was probably a little more shake you up a little more. And Jesus does all that to warn us, to warn people. Now, think about the scripture I read. If we retain the sins, they'll be retained. And if we don't, they'll be. It's our job to make sure none of our family, people we know or who he puts in our path, don't go to that place. It's our job. It's our job as a Christian, stay a Christian. What about that preacher? If you'll read Hebrews 6, it'll explain that to you. Once they've tasted and gone back and reject God, totally rejected God, there's no help. Amen? Well, stand up with me. Don't just watch this, shake it off. God gives you opportunity. Let's get people born again. Amen? Let's get our families first. That's people around you. Don't let your friends go to hell. Don't let them go there. Aren't you glad you're saved? You know, just think about it. You could have went to that place. I could have been there tonight. I could have been there. Father, we thank you. I was looking around. Everybody I see in yours, born again. Father, we thank you tonight for the love you have for us. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to go to this awful place. This torment never ends. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get our families saved. Help us, Lord, to not to permit this stuff to go on in our families. The people around us, the ones we know, Lord, help us to win them. Help us to get them born again. Help us, Holy Spirit, to get them saved. Thank you for boldness. In Jesus' name, bless the people, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You are dismissed.